This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law. Hey, you know it's Taz and Moose.
You know it's Taz and Moose. Hey. It is Taz and Moose with you on a Wednesday morning right here on CBS Sports Radio. You've got Pete and Mike across the way, Bogish with your updates. We're taking you right up until 9 a.m. Eastern, top 6 Pacific, coming to you live, Quicken Loans Studios, National Mortgage Lender. Quicken Loans, apply simply, understand fully, mortgage confidently. Ryan Wilson, CBS NFL analyst, will join us in about 20 minutes from now. It's time for the three.
It is now time for the three. We get you caught up on the three biggest headlines of the day with Taz and the Moose. Number one.
Eagles still committed to Carson Wentz.
They are. Let's hear from the head coach, Doug Peterson, first and foremost on that decision.
Carson is the quarterback going forward. And in Nick's case, listen, we'd love to have everybody back throughout the roster. But as I've said many, many times, you know, it's not about one guy. You know, it's about the team, and we're going to do what's best for the team.
How about their general manager, Howie Roseman, on the decision?
We have a lot of confidence in Carson and his ability to be our quarterback and to be hopefully, you know, a 19-game starter when we look at the season and what we're trying to do. That being said, coach, from the day he came here, quarterback's always going to be a priority position for us. We're always going to try to have talent at that position. We got great quarterback teachers in this building. And, you know, we're always going to be looking at that spot and trying to improve like any other spot that's important to our football team. We would love to keep Nick Foles. I mean, you talk about a guy who we drafted here and we've grown incredibly close with. As we go into the substance of those discussions, we haven't had them yet. But there's no question we love having Nick Foles as an Eagle in Philadelphia, and we'd love to keep him.
Yeah, I mean, and the question, though, is at what price? How much are you willing to keep Nick Foles aboard for? There's a mutual option for $20 million. Foles, if that option is picked up, can buy himself out of it for two. They could franchise him, but that would be a big price tag to carry for what, in essence, is a backup quarterback. And they could also franchise him and then trade him, or they could just cut him loose altogether. I think they would. Why wouldn't you want to keep Nick Foles when you have a quarterback in Wentz that you're not paying all that much money, Taz? And you've seen big game Nick play very, very well late in the season the past 2 years.
Yeah, and healthy. He's been healthy where Wentz hasn't been. Yeah. And, you know, we had, as you know, you and I had a really, really lengthy, good discussion about this earlier in the show. So anybody wants to hear that, if you didn't check it out live, check out the podcast for free. Over at Apple Podcasts and Radio.com, so you can hear this whole conversation we had about Wentz and Foles and different thoughts and a deeper, longer conversation than this. But anyway, I think, you know, it's a situation where, like, an important thing is what you said earlier, where you said, well, is it bad, and I'm taking your words and paraphrasing them, but is it bad when Carson Wentz has Nick Foles behind him? Like, so Carson Wentz comes back this year, let's say they work it out, they spend the money, Foles is on the bench getting millions of dollars. And now Wentz has got that on his shoulder, the Nick Foles, you know, guy on his shoulder waiting to see what happens. And all the fans are saying, well, you know, if Wentz starts playing bad or he's banged up, bring Nick in. Nick, we love Nick. The players love Nick. The fans love Nick. The coaches love Nick. You know, so it might be better for Wentz, to your point you made earlier, Wentz's future and current, if Foles was gone.
Yeah, to develop. Yeah. That he doesn't have to deal with that headache, that he doesn't have to deal with the constant reminder of the Super Bowl victory. It's there in his face over and over again. And not saying that he can't, you know, he's soft or can't respond to competition. But I do think there comes a point, though, where when you make the declarative statement, this is our guy, it's best served that he does not have somebody that's looking over his shoulders. Because I do think it can be to his detriment. I mean, you know, Joe Montana, Steve Young didn't work. It worked for a while, but then it did not work because both guys didn't get along all that well. I'm not saying that's the Foles-Wentz relationship, Taz, but I do think that Wentz would probably be best served if Nick Foles is playing quarterback someplace else in 2019.
Absolutely. And Wentz is younger. Wentz is, you know, he's like 4 years younger. I mean, it's just a few days. Nick Foles will turn 30 years old. You know, so Wentz is younger by like 4 years. And if you look at their side-by-side, if you look at their career stats with the Eagles, and this is with the playoffs, it's really weird how the numbers are very similar. They, you know, Foles, 38 starts. Wentz, 40 starts. I don't normally give out stats. I'll just do it now. 25-13 is Nick Foles, wins, losses. And 23-17 is Wentz. 10,286 passing yards for Nick Foles and Moose. Carson Wentz has 10,152 passing yards. The completion percentage is the exact same, 63.7. Touchdowns to interceptions, 69-28 is Nick Foles. 70-28 is Carson Wentz.
Yeah.
And the rating for Foles is 93.9, and the rating for Wentz is freaking 92.5. That's strange, you know, that it's but Foles has been better late in the year, obviously.
Yeah,
and healthy.
Right, and healthy has been better. But yeah, the Eagles, to really nobody's surprise, make the declarative statement yesterday that it will be Carson Wentz for them as their starting quarterback moving forward.
Number two.
Warriors 51-point first quarter sets NBA record.
They dismantled the Denver Nuggets on the road, led the game 51-35 after that opening quarter. Really never looked back from that point forward. And I think when you look at Golden State, everything we've talked about, the drama, getting Kerr back and everybody back on the same page, Boogie Cousins and Draymond Green and Kevin Durant not seeing eye to eye, the impending free agency of Kevin Durant this upcoming summer, Taz. People also forget that this is still a really gifted team they're able to ever get on the all on the same page. And last night they were. They were focused. They were draining threes. They were sharing the basketball. They were playing the way that Golden State played past number of years that led them to win championship after championship. I mean, three of the last four. I mean, so that's what you got last night in Denver, and I think the rest of the NBA should also take notice, too, is that you might look at Golden State and say, all right, they're not going to set a wins mark this year. But come postseason, tell me the team that's going to beat them 4 out of 7 games.
Yeah, well,
good luck. If they're healthy.
Yeah, you're exactly right. And this Nuggets team, you know, ladies and gentlemen, this is not exactly like a stinky team in the West. You know, they're right there with Golden State. This is not like you just beat up on, you know, the Clippers that are sitting in the sixth spot in the West. I mean, you know, Golden State's 1, Denver's 2. I mean, so this is impressive, the beatdown that they put on this team on Denver. But like you more or less alluded to, you know, you just knew it was a matter of time before things started, you know, clicking and as the cliche goes, cooking on all cylinders. And that's exactly what the Warriors of Golden State has done and doing. And I don't think they're going to stop anytime soon. They're going to keep on cranking and kicking ass and taking names. I really believe that.
Yeah, last night might have been the start of it. It is awfully impressive to watch Golden State playing at that kind of level the way that they did last night in Denver. Here's Steph Curry, talking about his team's performance after that, what was annihilation of the Nuggets.
We were just very purposeful about how we were creating shots. Everybody kind of staying within themselves, but shooting with confidence, and everybody got touches, which was nice, using their aggressiveness against them. And obviously, you got to make shots. It's a talented team, and when we do that, tough to beat.
Beware of Golden State when they are a focus group. And last night, they were certainly a focus group.
Number three.
Report, Phillies will not both sign Harper and Machado.
Right, so there have been a number of reports. In this MLB offseason, we could do an hour, 2 hours on it, Taz, about how long this has been drawn out. And really, it's not a good look for baseball. But you still have Kimbrel out there. You still have Dallas Keuchel out there.
Right.
You still have Manny Machado out there. You still have Bryce Harper out there. We're not all that far away here. We're 3.5 weeks away, less than, until pitchers and catchers report in Arizona and Florida, respectively. That's not that long away, and you're still having big-time players that have yet to find a home. Now, there was a report yesterday that the Philadelphia Phillies, Bob Nightingale, that they're dreaming of Harper, Keuchel, and Kimbrell all signing with the Philadelphia Phillies. Then there was a report, I think, I forget who it was, that they still, they think they have an opportunity to sign both Bryce Harper and Manny Machado. We're talking about the Phillies now. Then the report comes out that they're not going to be signing both Harper and Machado. It would be, with how many times they've been connected with one of these free agents, Taz, for the Philly fan, it would be a dramatic hit. Kick to the gut if they didn't end up with at least one of these guys.
Because there's a lot of, to your point, there's a lot of noise coming out of Phillies, out of Philadelphia about this. You know, like you said, from Kimbrell to Keuchel to Harper or whatever. If they don't get any, if they don't, that would be, you're right.
It'd be a disaster.
Me as a Met fan, I think it'd be hysterical.
You'd celebrate.
I think it'd be awesome. You know, but if they got none of these guys. But yeah, there's just a lot of noise, and that noise is coming out of the Philadelphia organization. That's how these things happen. You know that. And you know, they got to be careful with that, because there's a chance that none of these people, none of these awesome players that are high price tag guys, could end up in Philadelphia.
Right. There is that chance, because there's always the Nats, the Chicago White Sox, the Yankees are hanging around, even though some believe that
Machado was going to the White Sox. But I get now what it's.
Well, there was a report that they offered him a 7-year deal. Then it was 8. Then it was back to 7. Then the initial report around Manny Machado and his camp, Taz, was that he wanted the Yankees, would sign to the Yankees for less money. Now the report is he's only wants the most amount of money. He would never take less to go to the Yankees. I got to be honest. It's giving me a headache.
I know.
It's really troubling. When are they going to sign? I know, and here's the thing. Both agents want their players to get the most amount of money. So you look at the agents for Manny Machado, and you look at Scott Boras with Bryce Harper. They don't want their client to sign someplace and then have the other guy get $15 million more,
of course,
$10 million
more,
or $5 million more. But at some point, somebody's got to sign.
Someone's got to blink first, and that's the thing.
I get the idea of trying to get the biggest contract,
right,
Taz.
Right.
I get that. That's fine. But at some point, you got to sign.
Yeah, it's going to happen soon. You know, it's going to be interesting to see how it's kind of interesting, because it's good baseball talk, and it's good to wonder what happens. And then once it happens, as you know, once these guys land in these spots and $300 million or $350 million, 7-year deals, once these are all wrapped up and done, everybody moves on. And now you just get ready for the season and you watch the games. You know what I mean? Like, so it just as hot as the stove is starting to get, the chatter about the stove. Is the stove hot, or is it just the chatter? You know what I mean?
That's a great point. I don't
think
know
about that. Right?
I don't know if the stove is hot.
Yeah.
And Bellotti made a good point. He's both guys are using the Phillies as leverage, which might be the case too.
Yeah. Well, that's probably
smart.
If I
were the Phillies, I'd be angry.
Yeah. What's that?
If I was in the Phillies organization, I'd be angry. Imagine they use them. You know,
that happens.
You get
a lot,
used for leverage for Machado to sign with the White Sox.
I think Pete has something to say. He's got the giant headphones on.
Yes.
Go ahead, Pete.
No, it just makes the most sense that they're using Phillies for leverage, because I think the Phillies have the most to offer.
Right.
And I think they want to go somewhere else. I think Harper wants to go back to Washington, and Machado just wants to go to the highest bidder.
Right.
But I don't think they really want to play in Philadelphia, too.
Yeah.
That's just...
Ultimately, you want to make the most amount of money, but you also have to be happy in the spot that you're landing.
Yeah, but I think, to Pete's point, he makes a good point. I do think that if you really want, I mean, you have to assume the offer is there, the real offer. If a guy wanted to go play in Philly by now, the offers are made, you would have done this already.
You would have.
You know, so I think the leverage thing is probably a good possibility. I think Machado, it does happen with Chicago, with the White Sox. I do.
Yeah, I think you're probably right.
I think that's going to happen. I think that when there's smoke, there's a lot of fire.
Manny Machado!
Yes, that's what I think is going to happen with that.
By the way, I wanted to mention one other thing before we go to break off of the three, because I thought it was a nice job by Michael Strahan. Did you see what he did yesterday on Good Morning America? So we did, we joked around. No, we talked a little bit yesterday about how the Clemson football team went to the White House.
Oh, yeah.
Yep. All the fast food.
Yeah. I didn't like that. You know, the government shut down the fast food.
Well, I didn't love it. Fast food, if you're going to eat it, it's got to be hot.
Yeah.
It can't be cold.
No.
No one wants to eat cold French fries and cold hamburgers. You can eat pizza cold, you can eat fried chicken cold. I can't eat a McDonald's quarter.
Fried chicken cold? Really?
You can't have fried chicken cold.
I don't know if I could do that.
Yeah, fried chicken cold's not bad.
I never had that. Okay.
It's not bad. If you haven't had it, try it. You know, especially the leg. Leg or a wing?
I'm a white meat
guy. I don't know if I'd go breast cold.
There's a line in there somewhere, but I'll take the high road.
I know there is. Well, I teed you up.
and
you decide to lay, you decide to lay off the fastball.
Well, I like my job.
Right. But anyway, so Michael Strahan yesterday on ABC said, with that story in the background, said he'll take, on his dime, will take the entire Clemson team out to dinner, whatever they want.
And that's awesome. And another guy who stepped up.
That's a nice
up too.
Job by Strahan.
It is. I don't know if you know Quavo. Quavo Honcho Jack, Jack Honcho. He's a hip hop guy.
Yes.
Quavo. He ripped Trump and he was pissed. And he basically said that, you know, to the Clemson football team, that he'll host a real, you know, a real dinner for them too.
Oh, that's great. Same thing that's awesome. So yeah, maybe they can get together. Yeah. He said Quavo could do the concert. Strahan can hire, like, you know, Peter Luger's for the steak dinner.
Quavo said, "I want to show Clemson Tigers and POTUS how champs are supposed to be treated. Y'all welcome to come by the QC headquarters anytime. Dabbing Dabo still." And then he put hashtag go dogs. So he's a Bulldog fan, but yes, he's looking to.
That's a nice job.
And then he said the stir fry way. So, you know, this is Hip Hop Jones. You know, these guys, they have their own little vernacular. Yeah,
right, correct.
So, Quavo.
And so
yeah.
Strahan and Quavo. So Strahan said, whatever you want, lobster tails, well, it's all on me.
That's
he's making
good.
Enough
it's
money.
It's good stuff.
That's probably, I would say that's what, about a $60,000, $70,000 meal?
Yeah, it's a layup for Michael Strahan.
It's a layup.
But here's the thing,
you
bro.
Would think for that entire team, you're talking about, what, 70 guys?
You're talking about 70, maybe 75 grand. You're going to have the coaches. You got to
have the coaches. Yeah, you're looking at probably, you're probably looking at $75,000, $80,000.
Probably their families, too.
Yeah. Maybe it's 100.
If you're Clemson football right now.
I'd take Strahan up. I'd be like, I want an 80-ounce lobster tail.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, that's it. That's it.
Drawn butter.
That's one big lobster.
I know you would do that, Moose. I actually know you would do that. That's your style. Me, I take the high road. Say, no, Michael Strahan.
Oh, stop.
Thank you, sir. I was good with my Big Mac.
Yes. Yeah,
you know, that's what
dude.
I would do.
You would not.
No, here's the thing. No, I'm not a heathen. Listen, here's the thing.
Heathen.
Here's the thing, bro.
Wait,
if you're Clemson, you can't take Quavo up on this or Michael Strahan.
Why not?
You got to move on. It's not right. You can't.
Why
take
is it not right?
It's not right. You move on. You move
Strahan,
on.
Strahan offers. Why not?
I bet you anything.
I probably.
They're not going to take Dabo.
I'm not saying that they will.
You can't.
No, we're having two different conversations. I'm not saying that they will. I'm saying that they should.
No. Like a. If you're Dabo Sweeney.
You don't celebrate with Strahan?
No. But you're not.
It'd be filmed on Good Morning America. They'd love it. Yeah, that would be filmed. There's
it's actually
no
not
doubt.
Film. It's taped.
Well, you know what I'm saying.
They don't use
just
film.
Go.
That's
please.
Motion pictures.
Mr. Wordsmith over there.
All of a sudden, I'm Dino Dina Lampis.
Right.
I'm like Al Pacino Jr. here. I'm like, what's the big director? Steven Spielberg.
I don't know. Chargers had a hell of a season at 12-3.
Nice combo. Oh, yeah. Back to 12-3. Look at this guy. That's Quavo?
No.
Thank you.
No, it's...
Yeah, Mike in the background, snickering.
Well, that's a good line.
I can't stand Mike. All right.
I would take him up on the
offer. Why is this not Quavo? No, you can't take him up on the offer.
Why not?
Can't stand me either.
Because, bro, it looks like you're like a beggar. It's Clemson football. They're getting ready for the season. They're
that
recruiting.
Makes no...
you don't have any
break.
Free meals you're going to take.
That doesn't make any sense.
That doesn't make sense.
They didn't ask for it. You beg. If you look like a beggar, you're asking for something.
It's called pride. And Dabo's not going to... He's going to say, thank you, Mr. Strahan. Thank you, Mr. Quavo.
Let's continue to celebrate.
Thank you.
Beat Alabama. We whipped their rear end.
They got to get ready for camp.
Whip their rear end.
The kids got to train. There's stuff to do.
No, it's time. It's enjoy the championship. Taz, Moose. CBS Sports Radio.
It's Taz and the Moose on CBS Sports Radio. It's Taz and the Moose on CBS Sports Radio.
All right, Ryan Wilson, a CBS Sports NFL analyst, will join us here momentarily. But...
Yeah, we have a little social media update. Hype Dog, at Perfect Trev, you guys aren't the Warriors. You're more like Seinfeld. Moose is Jerry. Taz is George, etc. All the voice raising and yelling and screaming, it's a direct fit.
Ah, nice.
Thanks, Trev.
There you go. That's great. What a compliment.
Really? I guess because you're Jerry. You're the star of the show. Like you're Kevin
Seinfeld
Durant.
Seinfeld was a highly successful show.
That was one of my favorite shows ever. But I don't think you're Jerry Seinfeld. I'm just saying.
I don't care. No. I mean...
I'm just saying.
I'm not really... whatever. It says that the show works.
Who's Kramer on the show? Wow. Who's Kramer? A-game Jones. Who is Kramer? I mean,
it's Mikey B,
isn't
it?
Yeah, Mikey B.
Mikey B minus actually looks like Jerry Seinfeld. We went over this. So.
Yeah.
And his delivery is, Mikey B is a frustrated Jerry Seinfeld. Let's be honest. He really is. He's kind of like a he's kind of like a bizarro Jerry
Bogus
Seinfeld.
You would be Elaine.
I'll take that. That's fine.
There you go.
Better than Jason Alexander.
Oh,
that's Pete.
That's Newman. That's Taz.
Why is it Taz?
Pete is
perfect. Trev said
Newman.
That.
Yes.
Pete Newman. Is Newman.
You're Newman.
Okay.
I think I'd rather be Kramer. I mean, I could be George. But I'd rather be Kramer. I think
you could be anything. That's how versatile you are.
Thank
but,
you, sir.
Yeah.
Utility player. That's me.
All right.
Triple threat.
There you go. You could take Kramer and Bilotti could be George. To make you happy.
It's fine. I mean, I just am a little bit hung up on the fact that that you're Jerry, but it's fine. That you need to have the lead role. That's your bit. That's your thing. You need to be the top dog, Jones. That's
well,
your
I lead
deal.
The show.
You lead the show. Okay. That's true. You do lead the show.
I do lead the show. So I mean, yeah. Very perceptive.
And
from
the bosses
hype dog.
Put that on you. So that's true. That was in your doing. That's the bosses. Moose must lead the show. So you're Seinfeld. You're KD. You're LeBron. You're Tom Brady. You know what I mean? Who am I? Rex Burkhead? Like, if you're Tom Brady, like, who am I?
No, you're James White.
No. Let's end this conversation before it ends in disaster.
It's not disaster.
We got a guest coming up here. Let's
All right.
not forget about that.
All right,
here's Bogus with the update.
And that update is sponsored by Geico. Great news. There's a quick way you could save money. Switch to Geico. Go to geico.com, and in 15 minutes, you could save 15% or more on car insurance. Steve Kerr says his Warriors were at their peak in the first quarter last night in Denver. Nuggets head coach Michael Malone says his team helped the Dubs get there.
They're more than capable of getting going. The only problem with tonight was we helped them get going. Lack of discipline at times, not understanding their range, their ability to make shots.
The Warriors hit 10 threes in the opening period. Their 51 points are the most in a first quarter in NBA history. The 142-111 final makes Golden State the first to win 30 in the West. 31 points for Steph Curry and Klay Thompson. The Sixers hammer the T-Wolves 149-107. Jimmy Butler 19 points in his first game against his former team. The Hawks outscore the Thunder 142-126. The Bucks handle the Heat 125-86. The Pacers roughed up the Suns 131-97. And the Lakers sent the Bulls to their eighth straight loss, 107-100. LeBron's agent says James will miss at least two more games with his groin strain. An official reevaluation from the team later today. Virginia still undefeated, 16-0 after an 81-59 decision over number 9 Virginia Tech. 14 points and a career-high 12 assists for Ty Jerome. The Jets are reportedly close to making Greg Williams their defensive coordinator. The Broncos have officially hired Ed Donatell for that position. He worked under new head coach Vic Fangio this season with the Bears. Ohio State QB Tate Martell's transferring to Miami. Rafael Nadal, Roger Federer, Sloan Stephens, and Angelique Kerber all safely in round 3 of the Australian Open. American Francis Tiafoe upsetting 6-seeded Kevin Anderson in 4 sets. And right now, Maria Sharapova leads Rebecca Peterson 6-2 and 3 love. Guys?
All right. Thank you, Andrew. Let's hit the guest line. Let's walk aboard here. Rye Wilson covers the National Football League for CBS Sports. A friend of the show has been on before. Ryan, good morning, brother. How are you?
What's up, man?
Good morning, guys. How's it going?
Do well, Ryan. Do well. Too intriguing. I think Taz and I both were in agreement going into the postseason. A lot of people were wide open, especially when you looked at the AFC and you've got the two top seeds sitting there in both respective conferences. And I think they're probably the four best teams that are left standing in the National Football League that we're going to see on Sunday.
Absolutely, and I'm quite certain that the NFL is happy how this is turning out. I'm sure there was some trepidation that the Bears or the Ravens, can you imagine the Bears-Ravens Super Bowl? I think that would be a lot of fun to watch from a defensive standpoint. But in terms of the NFL and ratings and what the Super Bowl means, that was probably less attractive to them. And we have teams that can drop 50 points in a football game playing each other, and two of those teams are going to end up in the Super Bowl. So I think the NFL is extremely excited about it, and I think the fans are excited about it. Now becomes the question, are we going to have to endure another 2 weeks of the Patriots and their Super Bowl glory, or is this going to be the time that Andy Reid finally gets over the hump and perhaps even wins his first Super Bowl?
Well, Ryan, speaking of the Patriots, so I got to ask you, man, like, you know, how did, you know, Where do you think this comes from, this us against the world mentality? We heard Brady talk about that, you know, where they felt like everybody thought they stunk, you know, to motivate them. I mean, you think it's something that's growing in the locker room, or if it's some noise up there in Boston from the media? Where do you think it comes from?
I think it's been one of the things they've hung their hat on for the entire Bill Belichick era. I mean, don't forget, Rodney Harrison used to give these speeches back in the early 2000s about how it's us against the world, no one respects us, and we're sitting there watching these teams win Super Bowl after Super Bowl, win AFC Championship after AFC. Now, what are you talking about, Rodney?
It's annoying. Yeah, I know.
And it's just a matter of him, a self-motivating thing, and I'm sure Belichick feeds into it, and I'm sure they have the, you know, been doing it forever, quote-unquote bulletin board material and whatever it has. Yeah, I don't know what Tom Brady was talking about after that game. The man's 41 years old. He's playing like a Hall of Famer. And you know, he gets accolades each and every week because he deserves them. They didn't play well the last month or so of the season. They had a rough stretch, and they're still exactly where everyone expected them to be. And now the question is, what can the Chiefs do about it?
Yeah, and well, that's my next question for you, Ryan, is this, is, you know, everybody after that one game says, the Pats are back. I know more people now that like New England on the road in Kansas City than like New England at home against Los Angeles. So my question is, what do you believe in more? What the Chiefs showed you defensively against Indianapolis? Because they certainly bowed their back and met the challenge. Or do you believe the Pats have turned a corner here with their performance against L.A.?
You know what? I think it's hard to say because I don't trust that Chiefs defense. They absolutely dominated the Colts. I don't know where that came from. If they can do that 2 weeks in a row, excellent. And on the other side of the ball, the Chargers had to play with 6 and 7 defensive backs. They have injuries at linebacker. That worked against Lamar Jackson. But what the Patriots did, they ran old school up the middle I-formation football, and the Chargers couldn't stop it. So I feel like if the Patriots do that again, and they almost certainly won't, the Chiefs can stop it. But also, I mean, Bill Belichick has time to scheme up against Patrick Mahomes. They obviously beat them back earlier in the season in October in New England. That game was close. Mahomes got off to a slow start, but then got hot at the end. He didn't get off to a slow start last week, and that was a concern. That was the stage going to be big, too big for him, and might he need a little time to adjust? He didn't. He didn't throw a touchdown pass, so people were acting like he was, you know, playing like Alex Smith at his worst. He was not, and I think Mahomes isn't going to be concerned about facing the Patriots again. The weather isn't going to concern him. He's going to do the same things he's been able to do, and I think if the defense is just average, you can stop that. I mean, look, the Steelers beat the Patriots, so it's not like this team is suddenly a juggernaut again. They were just running the ball really successfully against a Chargers team that couldn't stop it. And I feel like they're going to have to do a lot more interesting things, a lot more dynamic things in order to go into Kansas City, where it's tough to play number one, and beat the Chiefs, where it's going to be 5 degrees or something.
Right. And, Ryan, you know, it's funny you said that about Belichick with Mahomes, because I've been saying that, you know, Moose and I would talk about that too, like, that's the thing, you know, I really feel it's Mahomes against Belichick, where Belichick's cooking up in his laboratory defensively to stop this kid that's just unbelievable. So I want to ask you this, though. Let's say the Chiefs win the game, and let's say Mahomes plays awesome and his numbers are just better than Tom Brady's. Is it like a passing of the torch type of deal that we might see in Arrowhead on Sunday?
Yeah, no, I think that's fair to say. Patrick Mahomes is the MVP. Drew Brees sort of played his way out of that conversation, even though he's never won it. And Tom Brady is not in the MVP conversation right now. I mean, we could see a situation where he wins the Super Bowl MVP. That wouldn't surprise anyone. But right now, yeah, he's 41. Patrick Mahomes is 22 or 23 or whatever he is. Two decades difference between them. And Mahomes is the way the NFL quarterback position is going. Baker Mayfield, Lamar Jackson. We've seen these guys. Even Russell Wilson sort of got things going back in 2012. And Mahomes is sort of the latest, greatest version of that. And I think it makes perfect sense to say if he comes out and balls out against Bill Belichick, the genius, and Tom Brady, the first ballot Hall of Famer, absolutely. That's sort of the turning of the page. Just like when Peyton Manning retired, we were looking for that next quarterback, and that next quarterback is apparently Patrick Mahomes.
All right. When we look at this NFC Championship game, a rematch of a game that we saw in the regular season that went the Saints' way down in New Orleans, 45-35, over the Los Angeles Rams, early game on Sunday, Ryan, what do you think, does anything change? What's the significant difference that you see how this game is played out on Sunday?
Here, I thought the Cowboys were going to win last week in Los Angeles, and here's why. I thought they were going to be able to stop Todd Gurley because the Cowboys have a fantastic run defense. I didn't count on C.J. Henderson showing up rolling through that defense like nobody's business. And they had no answers. And once you get the running game going, if you're Sean McVay, that's a wrap. The game's over. Because then you do these stretch concepts, and then you do the play action off that, and then even Jared Goff, when he's not at his best, can complete the passes. So job number one for Dennis Allen and the Saints is to slow up Todd Gurley. Luckily, you don't have to worry about Dak Prescott being your quarterback. You have Drew Brees and Michael Thomas and Alvin Kamara, so you can offset any sort of success that the Rams might have with your own offensive success. And I think if the Saints can just slow up Todd Gurley, they don't have to stop him. Jared Goff does not match up on paper with Drew Brees, so you win that one. And I think you're playing at home. It's incredibly tough place to play. The Eagles had a chance. They were up 14-0, and you could hear pin drop in there. But if the Saints come out early, get up by 3 or 7, I think that's it. Sean McVay's done a fantastic job, but I don't know if Jared Goff is up to the task of having to bring his team back from 10 points to get to that.
Well, yeah, I think you're right, Ryan. You got to rely on the running game if you're the Rams. Now they got a two-headed monster like the Chiefs do at that running back spot. Could you imagine the Rams going into, as you said, a very tough, insanely tough place to play like the Superdome, and the Rams finding a way to be victorious in this game?
No, absolutely. I mean, don't forget, Moose, that every person that Sean McVay's ever talked to got a head coaching job this last few weeks, so he knows what he's doing. He's 32 years old, and everyone in that room, in that locker room, buys into exactly what he's telling them, and we're seeing it on the field. They were up and down towards the end of the season, but every team was, and I thought they showed something in last week's game, and I think that can certainly carry over. They're not going to be afraid to go in there. It's just a matter of whether their defense can stand up against the Saints. They need Marcus Peters to play better. He has not played well this year, whether it's injury or otherwise. And they obviously need Ndamukong Suh to keep dominating like he has been. We know about Aaron Donald. But if that happens and the running game gets going, takes pressure off Jared Goff, he can complete the easy 15 to 20-yard passes, and they can get rolling. And we've also seen the Saints team not show up. In the last few weeks of the NFL season, Drew Brees did not look like Drew Brees.
No.
So if they get that guy, maybe they're onto something. But I just feel like at home, New Orleans is going to be the favorite.
Yeah, they are. You give the Rams or the Pats the better chance of winning on the road?
Patriots, just because you can't sleep on those two old people that they got running things over there.
No, I can understand it. I want to ask you a couple off-season questions here, Ryan. You look at all these hirings that we've seen across the National Football League. Which team do you love what they've done this offseason in terms of the direction and the new hire?
So the Vic Fangio thing is kind of is interesting to me. He's a defensive guy, and John always talks forever about offense, so that puzzles me. But I like what the Bucs have done with Bruce Arians. Bruce Arians is not fooling around. He's all in on Jameis Winston. He's not going back and forth about whether he's his quarterback. He has done a fantastic job cultivating quarterbacks, especially in the downfield passing game. And I think that thing could turn around there really quickly, so that could be fun to watch. I love what the Browns are doing. The Browns are the best team in the AFC North right now. I don't know what year this is, but that's exactly the truth. Freddie Kitchens gave that press conference, and he was not joking around.
No, he owned
it. Jackson press type of press conference. He said 7-8-1 is not okay. Freddie Kitchens and Baker Mayfield are tight, which was clearly evident by the way they finished that season when he was promoted to offensive coordinator. And I think that team is going to be a lot of fun to watch. I'm sure you guys have been talking about Adam Gase and his crazy eyes. So
yes,
I thought maybe Adam Gase thought he got the Packers job, and then he rolled into the press conference. It's like, wait a second, I'm in New York?
Yeah,
he was bummed out about that.
Yeah, well, it was just you start to get to a point where it's like you're kicking a guy with the man down. But I mean, it was just such an awkward look and a strange 19-minute presser. There was no. You mentioned Kitchens, all these other introductory press conferences.
They were normal.
You're fired up.
They were normal.
I mean, you're watching. You're excited about the hire.
Yeah. Ryan, did you see the taco thing? Did you see it?
Yeah, that was fantastic. That's the only explanation for why he was acting that way. He saw taco floating around.
Yeah, right. But the Jets presser, it was almost like they were leaving a morgue. it was like a very, very strange scene and vibe around the Jets with that hiring.
The best thing Adam Gase could say is that it was only the second worst press conference in introductory coaching history for the Jets after Bill Belichick resigned 12 seconds after he was up there looking super uncomfortable. I don't know what Adam Gase was doing. Adam Gase, I'm sure, has no explanation for it, but I appreciate the comic relief for a team that, good Lord, they need something good to go right for them.
No, they do. They do. You think that works in New York with the Jets?
I like Adam Gase. I think he's done some good things with quarterbacks. I think that's good news for Sam Darnold. I just don't know what was going on. When he had to put on a suit and tie, he just sort of lost his mind.
No, he did a little bit there. But I'm curious about Rhule here, I heard that Rhule was there at the top of that list. They had an issue with the staff. He went back to Baylor. He wanted to do it his way when he goes into and leaves college to go to the National Football League. Former assistant for Tom Coughlin, offensive line coach with the Giants. You know, you look at Matt Rhule. Is that going to be the next guy you think that teams, NFL teams, are going to be targeting when they look at the college ranks?
No, that's right. He'll be up there. And I think you're right, because it is weird. It wasn't like they were just talking for a few weeks. Apparently, the Jets and Rhule have been talking for some time. So the fact that the hang-up was that he wanted to bring his staff, which wasn't necessarily NFL experience, that I can't imagine cropped up in the 11th hour. So, you know, another issue, what appears to be an issue of mismanagement by the Jets. If they wanted Rhule, I think you go out and get him. I don't necessarily think you need to have all NFL assistants on there. I'm guessing that Todd Bowles had a lot of NFL assistants on his staff, and that team obviously wasn't very good.
No.
But that's right. Young guys, I think Rhule's in his early 40s. Young guys and guys with ties to Sean McVay are the top of the list for head coaching jobs, it appears like. And, yeah, he'll definitely be that guy, because he was certainly the favorite in New York. New York wanted him, and then when they couldn't get him, they got Adam Gase, which I think is a very good consolation prize, especially if you're interested in developing Sam Darnold.
Hey, Ryan, they certainly are in doing that. We certainly appreciate the time this morning. We do. Enjoy the games this weekend, and we'll chat again soon.
Thanks,
all right,
Ryan.
Thank you, guys.
Appreciate it, man.
You got it. Ryan Wilson, CBS Sports NFL analyst, gave you a good feel and a good vibe there. The undercard is coming your way, straight ahead, Taz, correct?
Yes, Moose, that is correct, sir.
So you're Kramer or you're George? Or you're...
I think I'd rather be Kramer, but Kramer's a lot taller than me. You know, but...
Well, I think when we drew up Golden State, I think we took height out of the equation, didn't we? I think we all have to stretch our imaginations with all of this.
Yeah, yeah. All right, then I'm Kramer.
It's Taz, it's Moose, it's CBS Sports Radio.
It's Taz and the Moose on CBS Sports Radio. Listening to Taz and the Moose on CBS Sports Radio.
All right, time right now to answer our Ask the Pros question of the day, brought to you by O'Reilly Auto Parts. Today's question is from Ryan in Syracuse. I heard Julian Edelman mic'd up during the Chargers game, and all he does is compliment his opponent. Is that sort of strange? Yeah, a little bit.
I don't think so. I think it's a head game. That's why I think he does that. I mean, that's why people might think it's strange. I don't think it's strange.
Yeah, I think the fact that he always does it, now he might also knows he's being mic'd up, too.
Good point.
He's not mic'd up every single game. So when you know you're mic'd up, you're maybe not necessarily going to say exactly everything that you say when you don't know
you're
mic'd up.
I think some guys might want to be even more edgy, though, when they are mic'd up, to act like badasses. And he's got the beard, and he's a good player, and he's cocky. But I think he does that to get people's heads to be complimentary of them as they're trying to tear his head off.
But he also had a sponsorship deal, too. So you got to be careful. Yeah, he did before he tore his ACL. What sneaker company was it? Was it Skecher? It was...
one with the grass?
No. He did a workout. He did a workout in... he was basically... I forget where it was. But yes, he did before. This was going back 2 years ago. Don't forget, you can submit a question by going to CBSSportsRadio.com/AskThePros. Think O'Reilly Auto Parts for all your car care needs. Get guaranteed low prices, excellent customer service at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Better parts, better prices every single day. CBS Sports Radio's toll-free line brought to you by GEICO. Great news. Quick way you can save money. Switch to GEICO. Go to GEICO.com. 15 minutes. You can save 15% or more on car insurance.
Converse, Puma, Adidas?
I really honestly, I don't remember which company it was.
Nike, Reebok, Spot Built?
Maybe. Undercard. Here we go.
Taz and the Moose present the Undercard. The stories from today's rundown that we haven't talked about on the show.
All right, Mike, let's get to it.
Dennis Smith Jr., second-year guard for the Dallas Mavericks, called into work sick the other day with trade rumors swirling around. You have a problem with calling in sick?
Yeah,
you know,
I actually do. For a pro athlete, I do. I know my years in WWE, Vince McMahon had a credo. He had a lot of them. One of them was, there is no sick in the WWE. You show up. And it's the same in radio. You could be sick, you show up. The same in TV. You're sick, you show up. I mean, you're a performer, you're an entertainer, you're a public figure. You're a pro athlete. You can't be sick. You got to show up, stay in a locker room, vomit, do something, put a blanket on. Unless you're, like, bedridden,
yeah,
you can't do it.
Yeah, I don't even think he was saying it. The marriage is over. I mean, he hasn't played with them in what, four or five games. He wants away from that franchise. They want to get rid of him. It has not worked. Where's LeBron James, by the way, when he came out and said the Knicks should have drafted Dennis Smith Jr. instead of Frank Ntilikina? Remember LeBron dropping that one last year on the Knicks? Yeah, he can't be doing it. He's acting like a child.
Yeah.
He's bothered by where he is with the Mavericks. He wants to be gone, so he calls in sick. No, you can't have it. It's not doing your job. No. Go out there, as Belichick would say, do your job.
Do your job. Show up. You're sick. It don't matter. You know, I understand. Well, you're right. The guy don't want to be there, so that's that's the main reason why he's doing it. But I just wanted to answer Mikey B's question. He posed a question about sickness and work.
Yeah. No, I got you. We both did. Yeah. Next.
Right.
The research team looks like Edelman and Puma had a deal at one point.
There you go.
I mentioned Puma. That's what I said. Puma.
You did. You mentioned every shoe brand in America.
Right. So there you go. Thank you, Mikey. Appreciate that, buddy.
Not a problem. I always love bringing up sequels, prequels, and all things movies redone. Ghostbusters 2020 is coming. They'll try again to do a reboot on the movie.
And it'll fail again. I don't
give
a rat's ass.
Different director.
I don't care. I don't want to see it.
Don't know who's starring in it, but the director from the original one's son. So it'll be back more towards what we saw in the
80s. Why can't they just come up with an original idea? Why can't they just do that?
Hello?
No?
What, you talking to me? So I was watching...
No, I know Something what you were. TV. I know you were watching. But this is the issue you have with Hollywood right now.
It's all redone stuff.
Is now your? I mean, the all female cast didn't work. I mean, it's a legendary movie. Not everything has to be rebranded, redone, done over again. Just you look at what I don't need to see another Ghostbusters. I've seen it already.
Star is Born.
It's a great movie.
Star is Born. Another remake.
It is a remake, but it's a great movie.
I saw it over the weekend.
Oh, yeah. Fantastic!
Didn't love it.
Didn't love it.
Wow, look at that. Mike goes against Boost.
Didn't love it.
Da, da, da.
Wow.
What did your wife say?
I went by myself.
Did you go by yourself?
Yeah, I go to the movies by myself.
You must have looked like a real wackadoo going by yourself.
You're lost. That's the last time I asked you for a movie.
He goes by himself.
Vice was good.
I know you'd like
Vice. Would
you
walk into the next theater by yourself with your
empty
popcorn?
That has a little bit of a political lean to it.
You have to take it with a grain of salt, but I enjoyed the flick. No, I just go by myself. First of all, when you're at the movies by yourself, you're not talking to anybody. You're watching a movie, so you don't really need to be with anybody.
You're still married, right?
Yes, I'm still married. All right.
Star is Born, You're Lost is a great movie. Fantastic movie.
If you don't agree with Moose, then you're a fool.
The people behind me started clapping when it was over.
They were happy with it.
I was like, I'm getting out of here.
No,
happy was over.
Stop. It's an unbelievable movie. Taz, you should expand your mind a little bit.
I watch sports and wrestling in Japanese.
I get it. I watch it. No, I understand. You should expand your mind. Yeah. Broaden your horizons.
I follow on Instagram retro bodybuilders, so I see the old school bodybuilders. I watch that too.
Fantastic. That's not what I'm talking about.
All the dumbbell
expand
cross.
Your mind 70s. A little bit.
Yeah,
broaden your horizons.
Hey, I've been doing this pretty good.
I'm not saying you're not.
I'm not changing now.
Evolve.
My evolution process has been great. It's over, okay? So I'm kind of set in stone.
So you're done evolving?
I'm done evolving.
As a human being.
That's great.
Yes.
God bless. I still won't go see Ghostbusters, and neither will you. You're not going to see that, bro.
No, it has nothing to do with it. No, I agree with you. No.
It's going
to
suck.
I don't need to see that movie. No.
Full circle. Next.
Kyle Kuzma tweeting from halftime at the Lakers game. A bit odd, huh?
Yeah, from halftime? Wow. Yeah,
at halftime. During the game.
Wow. You can't Kuzma too. Yeah, what is that about, dude?
No, you can't be doing
that. Well, hold on a second. Let's give him the benefit that maybe somebody has.
Can't be doing that.
Let me finish. Maybe somebody has his pass where like a friend of his did it for him, his wife, his girlfriend.
Then he's looking at his phone.
No, but I'm just saying, maybe somebody tweeted for him, just for a little ha-ha.
No, I don't think so.
You don't think so?
I don't. I think in today's day and age, you're not giving anyone your password to social media. It could end your life.
End
your career.
End your life.
It really could. It could end it all.
That's true.
It could all be gone. You're not giving anything, anyone.
End it all.
Mike, thank you. Pete, thank you. Bogus, thank you. Ryan Wilson, CBS Sports, fantastic as always.
Oh, yeah.
Enjoy your Wednesday, everybody. Peace.
Bye-bye.
There's got to be a 10-second runoff here.
You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.